This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us today. The standoff over Governor Walker's budget repair bill enters another day. The story took a surreal turn yesterday when Senate Republicans tried to open debate on the bill with an aim towards a vote, but none of the Senate Democrats showed up, denying the body the quorum required to take up the bill. Later in the day, the Democrats reportedly all left the state, reportedly because no one has been able to verify the whereabouts of each of the senators. Thousands more demonstrators are expected in Madison today, most of them there to protest the bill, which would raise health insurance and pension contributions of more than 100,000 state employees and would also strip them of nearly all of their collective bargaining rights, except for base pay. But it's the political maneuvering that has many people talking this morning, and that's why we called on our occasional political analyst, Mordecai Lee. Lee is a former state assemblyman and state senator who now teaches and writes about government and politics at the UW-Milwaukee School of Continuing Education. Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke asked him if, in all of those experiences, he'd ever witnessed a situation like the one currently playing out in Wisconsin.
This is unbelievable. This is sort of off the charts, off the cliff, uncharted territory, just jaw-droppingly unusual and unprecedented.
As we have this conversation, the state senate is to convene a few minutes from now, and as this airs, it will be a few minutes ago. And it's, of course, a question as to how many people will be in that chamber. Let me ask this first. Is this maneuver, is this the equivalent of a filibuster?
To a certain extent, this is like a filibuster in the sense that one party, which is the minority party, is trying to take advantage of any loopholes in procedure that they can to slow down the majority's work. And I think the best example is what the Republicans did in the U.S. Senate during the first 2 years of Obama's administration, that they filibustered everything, therefore requiring 60 votes, and they did anything they could to delay. So this is really putting the shoe on the other foot. This is the Democrats in the Wisconsin State Senate taking something from the playbook of the Republicans.
Well, and so let's speak about the specific loophole that the Democrats are exploiting right now. And exploiting is a loaded word, but it's what they're doing. What is it that they're able to take advantage of?
You know, Mitch, I'm going to have to admit that I forgot about something that's in the state constitution. Obviously, I served several terms in the assembly and then in the state senate. I had forgotten that while it's true that generally speaking, all you need is a quorum of a majority to do business. So, for example, the state senate has 33 members. That means if 17 members are on the floor, that's a majority of the members. They can convene and they can do business. But in a totally separate part of the state constitution, in the section on finance, it says that for the legislature to vote on any bill that deals with financial issues, in other words, taxing and spending, you need a super quorum. You need a 3/5 quorum of the body. And so if you do the math for a 33-member state senate, you need not 17, a majority, you need 20. And that's exactly where the Democrats have found their loophole, that there are 19 Republicans in the state senate. There needs to be a 20th member so they can legally convene. Now, that doesn't mean they need 20 votes to pass. You know, you don't need a supermajority to pass a tax bill, but you need a supermajority as a quorum.
What was the thinking of the framers, if you will, who put that that clause into the finance section of the Constitution?
Well, as I recall when we were talking about it back then, you know, this really makes me feel old because this is just such irrelevance to today's headlines for something that happened so long ago. And from what I've been able to reconstruct, in the state constitution, they felt sort of the way the Tea Party feels today. You know how the Tea Party nowadays talks about a legislative body shouldn't be able to adopt an tax increase with just a majority vote. It should be a kind of a supermajority. And in fact, in Wisconsin, Governor Walker has proposed that. So it was the same thinking back then that an issue of taxation, tax increase, appropriations to spend, that these were important enough that you wanted to be sure that there was a supermajority as a quorum. And so that's the justification for it and something that really has not been operative all these years. I served in the 70s and 80s, and of course we always had more than a super quorum on the body. It never occurred to us that this would be a parliamentary tactic.
We heard yesterday that law enforcement had been deployed to try to find the Democratic senators. Do you know whether there's anything? I mean, this is maybe not a constitutionally described principle of law enforcement, but do you know anything about whether the police or other law enforcement can compel someone to show up at the Capitol for work?
Indeed. I went back to the Senate rules and I went back to the Constitution. Some of your listeners will remember that when there was a special session of the old legislature, when Governor Doyle had convened them to vote on collective bargaining, that Representative Wood had been in jail, I believe it was because of a drunk driving offense. And some of your listeners will recall that at the behest of the legislature, Mr. Wood was not only released from jail, but he was brought by – now, I can't remember the by. I think the by was a state patrol car, but I'm not positive – was brought by law enforcement to the floor of the chambers so he could vote. And so indeed it would be correct the way you described it, Mitch, that if there's a call of the House – now these are important details. A call of the House means the Senate is in session legally. In other words, there's a regular majority quorum. They call for all the members to be present and they lock the doors. And I remember when I was in the state Senate, occasionally during a boring session, I shouldn't confess this now, but I would leave the chambers, go up to my office. And then when there was a call of the House, the bells would ring and sometimes I wouldn't hear it. And sometimes the sergeant at arms would come to my office and say, there is a call of the House going on. Senator Lee, would you please come to the chambers? And of course I did promptly. And once you entered the chambers, you couldn't leave. There were sergeant at arms staffers who were blocking the doors. Now, if one looks at the Constitution, one looks at the Senate rules about a call of the Senate, there is no contingency for what happens if they decline to come. After all, the assumption is that once a person is notified, they would, of course, come. But I think playing out the scenario, Mitch, you've really put your finger on it. If the state Senate requests the assistance of the state patrol, which it can under the Constitution, and the state patrol locates a member of the legislature within the state of Wisconsin, they could – this sounds odd. They could compel them to come. I mean, they could handcuff them and compel them to come. But they can't go beyond the boundaries of the state. And extradition can't occur because we're not talking about a crime that's occurring. We're talking about a violation of the Senate rules that's occurring.
So what do you think that Democrats' realistic end game might be?
That's a great question. And I think this is a situation of two very forceful powers going eyeball to eyeball and seeing who's going to blink first. If the Democrats blink first, in other words, they stay out, let's say, today, and who knows, a little bit more, but they can't stay out indefinitely. If they fold, then they've played to their base, they've made their point, and they face defeat substantively. If the Republicans start cracking, which I think is equally likely because these are both very, very forceful powers, the Republicans could offer a procedural compromise. A procedural compromise would be we're not going to rush the floor vote. We promise not to vote on this for fill in the blank, a week. And we promise to hold three hearings outstate, you know, something like that. But the outcome, the substantive outcome would still be the same. It's just be delayed. Now, there's an outside chance that the compromise would be a substantive compromise. Let's say expanding the collective bargaining scope beyond wages, let's say, in the bill. Now, if I had to make a guess, the Republicans will not agree to a substantive compromise. We've got this really odd situation of total war. Each party is playing to its base. And so they don't care about alienating, let's say, public opinion or reasonable people or anything like that. They're just playing to their base because we've discovered in modern politics that fear and anger are the most powerful motivators in politics. And so the anger that Republicans tapped into that led to their wins in 2010, now Democrats are trying to do the same thing to their base, in other words, public employees, because they think that'll mobilize them to win in 12.
So you don't see that there's really a public relations situation that either side is going to be concerned about, because the people that they want their message to resonate with, it's already resonating with.
We live in such odd times that being reasonable or being fair, that there's no percentage in that. That if you're playing to your base is mad at you if you're reasonable or fair. And so that's why I think this deadlock is a really, really significant moment in Wisconsin politics.
Do you think there are any ramifications in this scenario for Governor Walker?
I think what's going on is, to win the PR war, Governor Walker is saying, we're broke, I have to change the status quo. But I think the other possible narrative, the minority narrative, so to speak, is, why is he upsetting the status quo? Why is he creating such disruption? He should not be doing this. In the way that, you know, if you think back when Tommy Thompson was governor, Republican governor, there were part of his governorship, the Republicans were the majority party in both houses. Now, theoretically, Tommy Thompson could have proposed what's been proposed by Governor Walker, but it never would have dawned on him, because in politics, the status quo is so powerful. And so the question is, when the status quo is disrupted, who wins in public opinion? Those who support the change in the status quo, or those who think we should retain the status quo?
It's a big question, Mordecai Lee. Thanks so much for starting it.
Thanks for inviting me, Mitch.
Mordecai Lee is a professor of governmental affairs at the UW-Milwaukee School of Continuing Education. He's also served in the Wisconsin State Assembly and in the State Senate, and he's an occasional political analyst for Lake Effect. He spoke with Mitch Tyke. You can hear all of our coverage of the Wisconsin budget situation at WUWM.com, and stay tuned throughout the day for updates from the WUWM newsroom as developments occur. Coming up next, we're introduced to Mummies from Around the World, the latest exhibit at the Milwaukee Public Museum. You're listening to Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.